This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Time's at hand. There's a stir across the land, and so begins another day on life's highway. On city streets, down country roads, like a stream, the people flow. There's bread to win. On life's highway, there is hope with every turn, a bridge to build, a bridge to burn. Here's hoping you never go astray on life's highway. We are young.
Good morning to you. It is a Tuesday morning, November 12th, 2024, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Bob Look, sitting in for Chad Holmes, who's on vacation this week. We're just kind of keeping the old studio warm and keeping things going here on WXCO 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, here for a little morning get-together, and your participation always will be appreciated here in the program, so you may hear me say this phone number a gazillion times, but that's just to emphasize that we are here for you. Your input, either you want to talk to us on the phone, or if you want to text us, you can use this number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297, and you're always welcome to be a part of the program. We got a very interesting morning lined up here for you, coming up at about 8:30 this morning. Our friend Jane Graham Jennings will be joining us. She's, of course, associated with the Wausau Women's Community, and we're going to be chatting with her and on things that we're starting to get that holiday season. It's not that far away between now and Thanksgiving, which is a little over a week away, and then, of course, follows the Christmas holidays. And talked to sometimes there was festive times get to be a bit stressful times, too. So we'll be chatting with her about that.
So true.
Yeah. And then at 9:30 this morning, a real treat for myself and I think for you, the listeners. And that is, we're going to be talking to an author. And she, of course, has done, you know, a career of writings from short stories to being a journalist and what have you. But she started writing science fiction novels. And you kind of, you know, and I'm kind of a fan of science fiction, and I'm
too.
To myself, I always go, boy, you got to have a heck of an imagination to do this, and she definitely has that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking to her how she came into this, because this wasn't something she had done, you know, early in life. But we'll be talking to her. Her name is Sue Burke. And the reason why I got a hold of her is that she's a friend of mine. In fact, we graduated from high school together, and we attended the same journalism classes from high school. She went that way, and I went into just being a ragtag radio guy. So what can I tell you? We know who got the better end of the deal. Anyway, that other voice you're hearing is Ian Welsh, who, of course, is our producer of the program. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Bob.
And I've got a couple of cleanups. You know, like a clean up on aisle three, you know, when you go to the supermarket or shopping. Yep. Well, yesterday when we had Nancy Stensel in here, as we were talking to her, she was talking about a human rights protest that's going to be coming up. Uh-huh. And she said this Sunday, it is not this Sunday, it's the following Sunday, November 24th. Uh-huh. Okay, so we were just off 1 week on that. But that gathering at the 400 block in Wausau coming up, that'll be on Sunday, November 24th, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, okay, about 2 p.m. at the 400 block in Wausau. Also, do you want to wish a happy birthday? You know, that's really kind of a neat thing, too. We might just think of this, that if people have a birthday themselves, or maybe a friend, or that if they want to send us birthday wishes, they can text them to our number.
That's a good idea.
You know, at 715-382-9297. And we'll, you know, during some time in the program, we'll just, you know, wish those happy birthdays.
Sure to announce them.
And or even anniversaries. What the heck, you know. But a friend of mine has got a birthday today. Kathy Jordan celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Kathy.
And she is years old. And I've learned over the years, you just don't go to the numbers when you're, especially on the female side. I try to be as, and I'm a little sensitive that way too, because when people ask, well, how old are you? And of course, what's the response usually? How old do you think I am? You know that you're doomed as soon as you try to answer that particular question, because no matter what you say, they'll say, oh, you're just trying to be nice, or what? There's no right answer.
I can relate to that reaction, because I used to work at the McDonald's in Mosinee for a little over 2 years. And when I first started working there, I was one of the holder associates, but a lot of my coworkers didn't realize that until a few of them asked me, so how old are you anyway?
Right.
And I say, well, how old do you think I am? I think you're 21. And I say, well, thank you. I appreciate that, but I'm actually 29.
Hey, well, you know.
And most people are just surprised. You're like, you don't look that old, honestly.
Well, again.
It's because I shave constantly.
Well, now I've got this grizzly beard that's been going on, and I'm thinking there's some of these people are thinking I'm, you know, like in my 80s, which isn't that far off. But I'm not in my 70s yet.
Not yet.
We got a few months to just say, well, I'm in my 60s, you know, so we'll just leave it at that. But
my grandma always told me, and God bless her heart, that age is only a number.
Yeah, you know, but also there are mornings I feel my age, and there's other mornings I don't. And it kind of rolls with how the body is functioning that day. Anyway, you know, yesterday with being Veterans Day, we talked to about, you know, veteran service and that. I had my father's dog tag was with me, you know, as a remembrance of his service to this country. And of course, all the other veterans out there, we wish them, happy Veterans Day, and also a remembrance from us and a thank you from us for your service.
Yes.
So I finally got kind of pulled off of something I wanted to talk about yesterday. I'm going to just bring it up here briefly. And again, for you folks who are not into sports, you may not know who the person Kirk Herbstreit is. Well, Kirk Herbstreit was a former Ohio State quarterback. His claim to fame now is that he works for ESPN and ABC, and he is part of the college pregame show on ESPN prior to the college games on Saturday with Lee Corso and all that, you know, and he's been doing that for many years. He also helps doing color commentary on college and also the Thursday night NFL games. He does those on that streaming service. Anyway, so Kirk had, when he's doing all this, you know, flying around from place to place, covering games and all that kind of stuff. And he got a bit lonely, you know, when his family back is located in the state of Ohio, and he's doing all his traveling, and you kind of miss out on things. And so he had a golden retriever by the name of Ben. Aww. That would travel with him. Well, as fate would have it, Ben became an internet sensation because he would be there at all these big, you know, game day deals with all these students and that, and all these college campuses.
That's sweet.
And everyone just adopted Ben, and he was such a glorious golden retriever. Just aww. He didn't do anything special, but he was just as friendly as he'd go up to everybody and, you know, and let him pet him. And of course, you know, but he was so passive, just and they would take pictures of of Ben with the mascots, like Texas Longhorns, one of those big, you know, and the Georgia Bulldog was, you know. Well, anyway, he became kind of a sensation. Well, unfortunately, he was diagnosed with cancer and died last week. And so now, you know, people, you know, kind of adopted him and everything. So they were going to do they recorded it like a 2-minute video about Ben and the exploits and how people loved him and it. And Kirk Herbstreit was supposed to do the intro to the video. He couldn't even speak. He was literally weeping on the air. Now, I was down in Madison, you know, doing work for the Badger hockey team, and so I was, you know, in a motel room, and I'm watching this. Now, you know, I've talked about the dogs that I've owned in the past and how attached to them and how I feel that the last two dogs that I had, Augustus and Louis Armstrong, basically saved me after some tough times. Well, anyway, so Herbstreit couldn't get, and his fellow announcers were trying to, like, help, you know, holding his shoulder, you know, he couldn't even intro the video.
It's gotta be.
And so then, you know, I'm in this motel room and I am starting to just buckets of water coming out of my eyes, and I'm, you know, and because if you have ever had a dog or a pet that is, and just about anyone who has, knows the loyalty, the true love and affection that they give to their masters or their humans, yes. I should say, instead of master sounds like you know, are something different. But it was, and for even you non-sports folks, if you go onto YouTube and you look up Herbstreit, H-E-R-B Street, and his dog, Ben, they'll probably have that. And you see what I mean? That is such raw emotion. You can't fake that. You can't play pretend with that. And I sent a couple of notes to Herbstreit on his accounts and everything else, you know, because, and he has received thousands, if not even millions, because we all can associate with what he felt at that particular time. So anyway, I just wanted to, if you have an opportunity to check that out, do that online, and make sure you're not having anything planned right after that. You may have to empty out a half a box of Kleenexes, because it really is that emotional. Anyway, we've got a whole lot of things coming up your way this morning. And in fact, we've got Brittany Merlo's got a run through on the weather coming up in just moments. You're listening to the Chad Holmes Show. I'm Bob Look, sitting in for him. You're right here, WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
About 21 minutes past the hour here on the Chad Holmes Show. I'm Bob Look, sitting in for Chad as he's doing some vacation, vacation time. And in fact, I believe he's visiting some relatives the last couple of days down in the Chicago area.
That's what he told me.
Yeah, so cool.
See some family and play some poker.
Yeah, well, poker is like his second love besides doing sports on the radio. So that's all right. Hope he's having some good fun and a good fun time now, because he's going to get in that busy season again with the winter sports kicking into gear, basketball, hockey.
He'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, and speaking of colder weather getting here before we know it, we had a nice little blast yesterday.
Oh my gosh, it was so windy.
Yeah, I actually almost had to redo my hair. which is not much of it anymore, so I don't have to worry about it. But
I almost had to bust out my heavy jacket.
Is that right? Well, anyway, let's get a check on what we can expect here for today and for the next couple of days as we check in with meteorologist Brittany Merlo. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. Oh, I will say yesterday's wind did cut right through us.
I did not
enjoy it.
If you people are watching on the stream, you are missing out because you are missing the opportunity to meet the one and the only baby.
Yes, she's
little
up from her nap.
Cute.
She's so cute. She's got her sleepy face on.
I know. It's about time for a nap. Looking at you, say, "All right, Mom, I got breakfast. Now I'd like to take my 10-hour nap. Got a busy day as being the cat around the house." I hear you.
She sure does. She's loving the sunshine, right? My cat's suntan. They always chase the sunspots throughout the house.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yeah. And it's really funny when the shadow starts moving and the cat just, they get up and they move to wherever the sun is. My dogs used to do the same thing, so.
It's okay. I do the same thing on vacation, right? You always sit right directly in the sun.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, now baby's had enough of that cuddle stuff. Now I'm going to try to live her life for a while. So
she is. She's like, "Enough laughing, Mom. You're moving."
Yeah. You're trying to get some rest here.
Oh, goodness. But we have just a gorgeous day ahead of us. I mean, a cold one, though. Merrill, mm-hmm. This morning, hit 18 degrees.
Whoa. Here we go.
Yeah. Coldest in the state. So Merrill taking that. Superior was at about 19 degrees. It was much clearer up north, cloudier down south. So we were kind of in the mix of that. Fell below freezing, and today's highs will climb to the mid-40s, which is pretty much right where we should be.
Yeah, that's average, right? That's about average, right? So that's what are we complaining about? I think what's what we're complaining is about ridiculously high temperatures in September and October. Got us spoiled.
Much. We did. Yeah. We don't know how to adjust.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's all right. We're slowly getting there. We get a little warm up as we go through the weekend. So before all of that, though, tomorrow, we're going to see those winds start to increase by tonight out of the south as the next system starts to slide in. So we'll see mostly cloudy skies tomorrow and some light rain moving in, especially by the afternoon and evening. That'll kind of continue through the overnight, wind down for Thursday, but it'll leave us with cloudier skies. Highs up in the upper 40s, and then for the weekend, we clear out. Beautiful sunshine on Friday, also sunny on Saturday. Few clouds build in for Sunday, but the rain looks to stay south. I was talking about rain over the weekend earlier, and now it's starting to disappear from the forecast.
Oh,
so
wow.
A decent weekend and a mild one as we're hitting 50 degrees when we should actually only be hitting about 40 for highs.
Does that mean that the S word is on the way then?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I try not to say the S word until December hits, because technically if I say it early, I'm going to jinx it.
You for a while there, Ian, when you said the S word, I went, Ian? Right. Oh, that one.
Yeah. Not the S word.
Okay, thank you.
S-N-O-W, everyone.
Oh, that one.
Swear
okay.
out loud.
Oh, yeah. Don't say it. Don't
God
say
forbid
it.
I say it, right?
No, don't say it.
As soon as we say it, it starts happening.
Shh, quiet.
Oh, so get this. All right, there's a big system next week, midweek.
Big system doesn't sound as bad, you know that?
I'm trying.
All right. So
it's,
forecast.
It's trying to put some snow down for some of us, but right now it's all over the place,
well,
right?
Well, I know. Our big ski hill just down the road from us here, Granite Peak, is, I think that last night was like maybe the first night where they really had some below freezing temperatures to even attempt to make snow.
They sure did. I actually forecast for them, and I was letting them know that they had about 4 or 5 hours with those below freezing temperatures. They wanted to test the guns, pump it out, try to see what's going on. Yes, it's exciting. And wild to think about last winter how Granite Peak was pretty much the only place in the state that had consistent snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because the temperatures were moderate, but they didn't get ridiculously warm.
No.
Where they
and
took,
it didn't stay too cold too long and weren't many systems.
Are you into skiing at all?
I love skiing. So last winter was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
It made me upset.
For you, for me. I had a roommate way back in my day who was a cross-country skier. In fact, he used to participate in a Birkenbeiner.
Yes.
You know, and so this guy was serious doing this stuff. And so He has an extra shoes and that, and his extra pair of skis. And we went out, and he gave me the, you know, learn how to cross country ski. You know, I got pretty good at it, but he didn't teach me how to stop.
It's always easy to start rolling to your butt.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I should have, you know, helped me with that, because that was, that tree was not that soft.
Oh, well. Yeah, some of those Hayward trails, like, I don't know if we took you out there.
Now you understand why I am the way I am today, you know, running into trees and, you know, stuff like that. So, all right, so anyway, weather-wise, that's what we're looking at, huh?
Yes, yes, okay. Not too bad. Pretty mild. I don't know, a little bit of rain tomorrow night, and nice weekend.
All right. Well,
can't complain.
Well, wish baby a good day, and you hope you have yourself a good one yourself, right?
Bye, Thank Brittany. You so much. You too, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And because, of course, Brittany Merlot and baby. We have to add baby into it because it's contract.
Now
we got to pay the cat, for gosh sakes. Anyway, 29 degrees right now. You know, when the bean counters over at Civic Media starts, like, who's baby? Well, we'll explain it to you later. Don't worry about it. Anyway, we got more coming up here on the Chad Holmes Show. In fact, we've got guests coming up here after a little break, and a whole lot more. Grab another cup of whatever you like to get your morning off on a good step, and we'll be chatting with you a little bit more here on WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Chad Holmes Show continues here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM. My name is Bob Look, sitting in for Chad while he takes some vacation time here this week. And coming up right now, we've got a visit with a friend for many years here in this area, and somebody who does some really good work, and it's the kind of work that sometimes goes unnoticed, but if you're ever involved with needing this assistance or needing this to help guide you in the right direction, this is the kind of stuff that is needed, and this is what makes community very important, and makes being a part of a community very important. Jane Graham Jennings, who's with the Wausau Women's Community, wishing you a good morning here on this sunshine right now as I'm looking out the window.
That's right. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And again, I wanted to get together with you rather than be smack dab right in the middle of all the holidays, you know, like after the Thanksgiving into the Christmas, to leading up to it, because this is the time of year everyone is in good moods, smiles on their faces, and it's a lot of fluff that sometimes hides some of the things that are just percolating underneath. And sometimes it's not easy to talk about. It's not easy to admit that you are maybe going through things like this, whether it be verbal, physical, abuse. This is the kind of thing that has got to be front and center and get out there to the public that there are reachable things that can help you.
Right.
Give us a little bit of a, you know, am I overstating it leading into the holidays, or I just feel that a lot of these things get hidden.
Well, I'm year round. Part of what the issue is in hard about talking about abuse is people put on a front for a whole variety of reasons. So around the holidays, you know, it is kind of happy time and people are really in a giving and charitable mood. But we also all know there's a whole lot of stress associated with that. And around the holidays, people are more busy, stressed out, trying to do everything. And what we find with people who are experiencing harm in their relationship, holidays are a time that they want to put on that front and keep it together for the family and make sure that the kids are having a great
Everything's
season.
Fine. Yeah. We're the ideal American family. It's put on a happy face, that old song.
Right. And that's, you know, there's even more pressure for people who may have been questioning or thinking about maybe trying to get out of the relationship. But there's even more pressure around the holidays to have that perfect situation. Everyone's sitting around the fire having a great time when actually that's not what's happening in that household. And it can be even more difficult for people to talk about it.
And I think it's also a shame factor that an individual who is currently in a situation where abuse is occurring, they don't want the other parts of their family, the other, you know, the siblings, their parents, uncles and aunts, they don't want them to become involved in it and take side or whatever.
Right.
They come up with every excuse in the book instead of worrying about themselves.
Right. You know, there's still shame associated with it. Mm. It's still, you know, we talk about it more than we used to, even in my tenure, you know, 30 years of doing anti-violence work. We talk about it more now than when I started in this work. But shame is still a significant factor, and we still tend to put the blame on people who are experiencing the harm. They're just trying to figure it out. They really are trying to keep their family together, but they want to do it without being hurt. So the question is, why does someone hurt their people they claim to love? That's the question. But we still tend to blame victims in the situations and say they should have done X, Y, and Z, instead of saying, we need to change the way our culture thinks about violence and abuse and start asking questions of people who cause harm and having them be accountable for the pain and not making victims accountable for it.
Yeah, the victim takes almost all the blame and holds it in their heart. They don't realize that they're not the cause.
Right.
They're the victim. They're the waste basket. I'm trying to find a metaphor that, you know, we can use on the air. But I mean, I understand. And this is what, you know, ticks me off. Because if there's one thing that, I had a living experience of that situation, not, you know, with my wife and myself, but my wife's previous, you know, relationships. And it was a real awakening to me because I was coming from that male type of, suck it up. You should be able, you know, just deal with it, blah, 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 you know. And you don't realize how much damage, right, how much mental anguish that goes on to people who are basically told to accept it. Deal with it, you got to be strong enough to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about people who are experiencing abuse and are able to get out of that situation. They are in recovery. It is a long time recovery, and the after effects that happen, it goes into the next relationships, which you're talking about, because that trauma and all of that pain, the psychological damage that is done to people who live in homes where they're in love with someone who is intent on destroying them, that's a long term impact, and it creates all kinds of psychological distress for survivors of abuse. And they carry that with them into their next relationships. They carry that with them with their children. It's a long-term effect. So again, we need to come back to changing the way we think about abuse and putting the question of where's the accountability for people who cause harm? The things that we hear about what one human will do to someone they claim to love, we are not outraged enough by how that is happening on a regular basis.
Now, how many times have you heard that? Well, I wouldn't have done that if.
Exactly.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stop that sentence right there. You're in the process of passing the blame on to someone who had nothing to do with it. They're just there because they're the easy reciprocal of being not a good person. Again, I'm trying to keep the language in the right frame here.
It's really, you know, it's so complex. We tend to want to see things as either or, good or bad. Mm-hmm. Intimate partner violence is very complex, and it's not just an explosive episode. That's not how that's working. What's really happening is issues of power and control, right, where one person believes that they are entitled to harm a person they claim to love. They believe they are entitled to blame that person, so they don't take any responsibility for it. Well, if you would have done these things, I wouldn't have had to do that.
Right.
And they make lies to their partners and to themselves to make their behavior okay.
And try to spread that same bit of propaganda to all the people that they deal with.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, well, the only reason why I'm here getting drunk is
right.
The point goes someplace else. Yeah. Wait a minute. You have every opportunity not to be in that situation
right.
yourself.
You have choices, mm-hmm. but you choose to use harm. And that's where we need to get to, because victims are afraid to tell anyone because we blame them. They're ashamed of that. They're in love with someone who hurts them. And that's very complex trying to figure that all out.
Or you've heard this, I'm sure, 1,000 times, if not more. Oh, but I'm sure I'm going to be able to change this. If you are not the originator, if you're not the starting point, how are you going to stop something that you're not responsible for?
Right.
You're basically the blame receiver. You're getting blamed for something you didn't do.
There's often an element of hope in relationships, and people who are being harmed by someone they love really hope they can make it different. So that's how it kind of all starts. You know, victims are like, well, if I do all of these things right, then it will be okay. Then they'll be better to me. And that's part of the game, is that you'll never do it right. It will never be enough, because as soon as you do everything right, the rules change. Because that person is not intent on equality or on having a healthy relationship. They're intent on manipulation and controlling. So those are very different things. But you know, victims try to figure all of that out. And if I do it all right, then it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, if you'd like to join in the conversation here, our number is 715-382-9297. Again, it's 715-382-9297. Now, if you're out there and you're thinking, well, I really don't want to go, you can text. And also I'm putting in the text on there saying, you know, anonymous. You don't need to put your name on there, because if it's anything that you feel uncomfortable to ask a question of Jane or myself here on this program, we'll make sure that, you know, your, you know, identity is kept there. Okay. So feel free to, because I'm sure there's people out, you know, persons out there thinking to themselves, and maybe they're, you know, again,
right.
That first step is the hardest one, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, for people who are questioning and thinking, is this problematic? They can call our 24-hour line anonymously.
Right. Yeah.
You can ask questions. We don't have to get information from someone that, if you're just trying to figure something out. Mm-hmm. If you're like, you know, I'm not sure that this is healthy. What do you think about that? That's what we have advocates for. You can bounce those thoughts off an advocate, and we can help you kind of see if the behaviors that you're seeing are problematic and what you might be able to do to stay safe.
And what's that number again?
It's 715-842-7323.
Okay, it's one, or no, not one. If you are calling long distance, if you're listening to us in California, you never know. Might want to stream and that, you never know. But 715-842-7323, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So feel free to do it. But if you want to, you know, if you want to ask a direct question to Jane or myself here, and you can use hypothetical.
You can talk about a friend. Yes.
Right.
You're calling for a friend.
I'm calling for a friend who it still works here. So 715-382-9297 is our number. So just in case you have a question here. Has it gotten worse you know, I mean, you go this on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. I mean, you've been there for many years. Mm-hmm. Is it still on the rise or close to it?
What we're seeing, and this has been a trend since COVID.
Right.
So
where you couldn't get some space.
Everything shut down and people are forced to be together, they don't have the respite of going to work. We had expected that we would see a significant spike, and it was very quiet. Our phones, everyone was quiet because nobody knew what this thing was. But as we started to get into a more normal routine again,
right.
Our calls then came kind of steadily increased. But what we found is the calls, the situations were much more violent. So the level of violence has increased in the relationships. Strangulation has been an increasing problem, which is a very, very dangerous situation when someone is strangled. It's potentially life and death up to 72 hours after the strangulation. So it's really important that if someone is strangled that they get medical attention about that, because it can cause damage that you're not aware of that can kill you 72 hours later.
You use the term strangulation, I think a lot of people in the back of their minds are thinking of the movie type stuff, which is, you know, way too passive.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is serious stuff here. And we're going to be taking a little break here, and we're going to have some more. Again, we're talking to Jane Graham Jennings from the Wausau Women's Community. And you are more than welcome to give us a call, 715-382-9297, or text if you would like it to be anonymous. Just put it on there, you know, that you keep it anonymous. If you have questions or concerns or maybe want a definite, you know, feedback, we are more than happy to help you. As you're listening to WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM here on the Chad Holmes Show, I'm Bob Look. We're going to take a break and be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Continuing on here this morning on the Chad Holmes Show, I'm Bob Look. Our in-studio guest this morning, Jane Graham Jennings. I have a hard time saying your because I want to say them correctly.
That's correct. Jane Graham Jennings.
You know, it's one of those things that have to, if you try to slide it out there, it doesn't come out right.
Yeah, the S always gets mixed up.
So I want to say it correctly here. But anyway, Jane from the Wausau Women's Community, coming up at 9:30 or after the 9:30 break this morning, we've got a guest talking about, well, writing novels, science fiction novels, and how do you get something that's up in your canoggin there, put it down on paper, and make it in a successful and very picky people who like science fiction. Because anyone who follows like science fiction things, and I know Ian, you know, we chatted about this, people are really into it. And if you're not detail-oriented, you're not going to be successful. Anyway, Sue Burke will be with us visiting via the, she lives down in Chicago right now, so we're going to have her on the video, and she'll be on our stream too. But anyway, that's coming up in the next hour. But right now, we'll continue on with Jane. now, okay, we're getting to that point now where we're maybe having victims identify Houston, there is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, now the ball's in their court.
Well, to some degree. Yeah. I mean, victims need to figure out what they want to do to stay safe. So, again, we kind of always like this either-or thing. Mm. And what people really need to understand is leaving an abusive relationship isn't an event. It's a process. Because in relationships, we fight, we argue with people that we care about, and they say, I'm sorry, and we forgive them. In abusive relationships, there's those similar patterns as well. The difference is the I'm sorry is not true. They're not sorry. I won't do it again, but they do it again and again and again. So victims are really trapped in this cycle of trying to figure out what's real and what's a lie.
And also they get to the point, I would think, that they, well, I maybe screwed up a bit on something and it's my fault. And they're taking blame for something that they really had no blame to take in.
Yes, because that makes more sense.
Right.
You know, we're logical creatures. We want things to make sense. And so when you're being hurt by someone you love, you don't want to accept that they are manipulating on purpose. Mm-hmm. So we find a way to make it logical because that doesn't make any sense. That someone who claims to love me would intentionally harm me doesn't make sense. What makes more sense is, oh, if I would behave this way, then they wouldn't have to do that to me. That makes sense in our brains. So, you know, victims are trapped in this psychological turmoil trying to figure out what's real, what's not, how to stay safe. Leaving is a really dangerous time because the issue we're talking about, power and control, when a victim is like, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I need to get out of this. That's really dangerous because they have now cut the control. So perpetrators of abuse who use power and control will say, if I can't have you, no one can. Leaving an abusive relationship is an extremely dangerous time. Yes, absolutely.
You're mine.
Yes.
Man, to me, my eyes just, what? I'm what? I'm yours? What?
That you I can't. You belong to me. Yeah.
Oh, time out of the field. Let's discuss that. You know, I can almost, you know, take that to the animal world. With animals that are abused,
yes,
by humans. Mm-hmm. We had a dog by the name of Augustus. I don't know if you might have seen pictures of him and I posted him. He was a hopeless case at the Marathon County Humane Society. I still remember, you know, I was at work and my wife calls me. You got to go to the Humane Society. There's this dog there. Like, there you go. What do you mean we got to go there, you know? Well, we just had put down one of our, you know, Winston, our beautiful golden retriever. And I kind of told my wife, you know, dogs find us. You know, let's just relax because we just went through a traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. But she says, no, you got to see this dog. I happen to. You know, just go there to see what's there, and he's a special case. And I go, why? He's given up hope on, you know, trusting humans. So I went there, met this dog, and in fact, and when you put a leash on the dog would not even stand up. He just went dead, like, and he was still a puppy kind of a dog. And so I went there, and I sat there on that concrete slab with the Gussie, and for 90 minutes, then he finally, you know, raised his head and looked up, brought him home with us. He wouldn't even come up into a split level ranch. He just stayed down because he was not allowed to do this and this. And it took over 4 months just to get him to even just be like a regular dog.
Yeah.
And I can see where that's very much.
But they're trapped. Yeah.
Anyway, we got a news break coming up at the top there. We got more coming up after 9 o'clock. Stay with us. Jane Graham Jennings will be with us over the next half hour. And give us a call at 715-382-9297. Like to hear from you. This is the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.